When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owajin? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, and of course, still a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. Very glad to be a part of that. Dylan and Kyle, thank you so much for having me on board, as unfortunately, the Pigskin Podcast Network and the Basketball Podcast Network have unfortunately ceased operations. So Timberwolves Explosion and Purple Mafia have moved to Anchor or Spotify for podcasters. So just letting you know, those are two shows that you may have heard of if you've been a regular listener to the show. This one, of course, is remaining on the Hockey Podcast Network. It was the strongest of the three, of course. It's kind of what it is. And still doing really well. Really happy to be a part of it, actually. And if I'm going to be a part of only one of them, it's definitely the Hockey Podcast Network. So very happy to be a part of that still. And it's awesome feeling. So it is what it is. The Minnesota Wild, it is what it is there. Unfortunately, only getting one out of four possible points. Not the best week. The Vegas Golden Knights have crowned the Minnesota Wild, unfortunately, this season. They swept them, though the Wild squeaking out, I believe, two out of a possible like 6 to 8 points during the course of the series. 4-1 loss on Saturday. Ugh, what the heck? And then a 4-3, you know, overtime loss against Vegas. The Wild had that one and coughed it up. And then you get a three-way tie atop the division with the Central Division standings. Colorado 98, Dallas 98, Minnesota 98. Okay. New soundbite. Yep, you're going to have a few new Blades of Steel soundbites on this one. I'm probably going to do a game review on that one at some point. It's like definitely on the docket for Video Game Flashback, but we're not necessarily here to talk about Video Game Flashback, but we will be talking about the NCAA Hockey Tournament. Oh, game. The semifinals are today. Gophers versus Boston U, Michigan versus Quinnipiac, and then Championship Saturday. Will it be time for Destiny? Really looking forward to talking about that, and really looking forward to hopefully celebrating a championship on next week's show, and of course Saturday night as well, for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, of course. Not Michigan, not Quinnipiac, and definitely not Boston University, who's got enough championships. The Gophers are third out of the... let's get on with that later. Well, yeah, the Gophers have five championships, were third place out of the three. Michigan's number one with like nine championships, though most of them were way back in the day. And Quinnipiac has been to two finals and lost to both, unfortunately. Let's keep moving. Vegas Golden Knights, 4-1. They're having a heck of a year. And with no Mark Stone for an extended period of the season and pretty much the rest of the way here, at least from what we know, it's kind of... Mark Stone has been kind of like in and out, unfortunately, for the Vegas Golden Knights. And it's a damn shame because a hell of a player. But to be fair, Vegas, since their, you know, inception in the NHL, has been one of the proudest organizations in hockey. So, good for them. You know, good for them. Jack Eichel, a couple of assists in the game. The Minnesota Wild score first in this game, which is a wonderful thing. Great. We're happy we scored and all that. But after that, Vegas kind of took over. And Laurent Brossoit did a hell of a job in net. Marc-Andre Fleury faced 42 shots and gave up three goals, unfortunately. And then there was the empty netter. That's where he had the final score of 4-1. Mason Shaw, and again, I'm going to try to not be just Mr. Game Review and Mr. Game Preview, but kind of talking about topics and stories and such as Mason Shaw injured again. Mason Shaw, another knee injury, and most likely, yeah, it is the ACL, and it's number 4 for Mason Shaw, but he's going to be back, no doubt about it, and that's the conversation everybody believes. Yep, he's a fighter. Brandon Duham said, yep, he's a dog, like in a good way. Sometimes when you hear dog, you think it's like saying bad things about somebody, but no, he is not that he's a dog, he's a fighter, he's like, you know, he's just going to keep going. Only played a minute and a half in the game before succumbing to a, unfortunately, a his fourth ACL injury. Didn't have anything to say, just kind of like, don't want to talk about it, leave me alone, kind of. So, and I don't blame him. I can only imagine how frustrating it is finally getting to the NHL and all that, surviving. The best way to describe Mason Shaw is a survivor. He would have definitely been drafted higher in the NHL draft years ago, if not for the first ACL or two. So it's just kind of been, unfortunately, the way it's been for him. Fourth round pick, 97th overall in 2017. That was not a good draft for the Minnesota Wild. Mason Shaw, clearly the best out of that bunch. You have Lodnia, who is like below average in the AHL at best. Bryce Mizley, who is somebody that's easy to root for, but unfortunately, just, you know, I don't know. He played on a Vermont club that didn't do a whole lot, and you know, they were one of the worst teams in college hockey, and has been in the ECHL off and on and playing overseas. Jacob Golden, I don't know what the heck's going on. Svetlakov was an older Russian player that could maybe help Kaprizov. He played with Kaprizov in the same club there in the KHL. And Nick Sweeney, yeah, I mean, who knows? He's kind of been off and on battling in the AHL. He's been a decent AHL player and was a really nice player for Minnesota Duluth. In fact, quite clutch, multiple national championships there. But, you know, unfortunately, probably not an NHL player, but I guess there's still a chance. I guess there's still a chance. So definitely a survivor for Mason Shaw. And, you know, definitely feelings go out to him, you know, or our heart goes out to him in such a big way. So just, again, wishing him the best. And the good thing about hockey is there's a pretty good chance he's going to play next year at some point, Mason Shaw. Probably not right away, like October or anything crazy like that, being this is April. We could be looking at like January, something. I'm just completely guessing here, spitballing, as they say. In the NBA, there's no way in hell he'd play next year, and there's a really good chance he wouldn't even play the year after that. And don't you think hockey's harder on your knees than basketball? Even though you maybe play less minutes, but the minutes you play are like a bajillion times harder, right? Don't you think hockey's harder on your knees? So I'll never understand that about NBA players, how it takes literally like 2 years to come back from an ACL. Sometimes even 2.5. It doesn't make any sense. Like, we're talking like, is he still good? Like, look at Kawhi Leonard for the LA Clippers, who beat the Lakers last night. It's like, yeah, I mean, he finally, you know, he's finally like good again. It took him, if I remember correctly, he got injured in the spring of 2020. Like, what the heck, man? And he finally came back at some point this year. Like, what is that? So, like, is he still good? You know, he's like 3 years older. That's ridiculous. So, things like that drive me nuts about the NBA compared to the NHL. Again, it just shows you how tough the NHL players really are and how grueling their rehab must be to be able to come back to play NHL hockey. NHL hockey, folks. To, you know, and at a high enough level to compete and still be good and all that. So, Mason Shaw, I respect the hell out of you. Keep it up, you know. I'm so sorry. I really am. My heart just went out to him. I can't believe it. Unfortunately, the Wild, again, defeated by the Vegas Golden Knights. And it wasn't a good day, you know. Unfortunately, I'm sure fans that got to travel to Vegas had a good time and enjoyed themselves. And I don't know. They were joking about, oh, we were in Vegas for a couple of days, so that's not necessarily a good thing, though. I mean, is that why we lost the series years ago? I don't know. No, I'm kidding. That was an awesome series. But unfortunately, the Wild did not survive it after making a valiant comeback, going down 3-1. And then a 4-3 loss, which, you know, yeah, kind of felt like another playoff game, a really good one. The Wild trailed early in this game and then eventually kind of started to take over. And I should mention the only guy who scored for Minnesota in Vegas was Matt Boldy for his 29th. And then Matt Boldy, back to Matt Boldy again, his 30th goal of the year. So awesome. Boldy was a recipient of a nice shot by Klingberg. He deflected it for his 29th goal on Saturday. But on Monday night, 30th goal of the year. And who would have thunk it the way things were going earlier this season? And I'm not going to come out like Travis Kelce. No, you doubted him. You doubted him. All of you doubted it. No, shut the hell up, Travis Kelce. Yes, we all were pretty skeptical at the possibility of Matt Boldy getting 30 goals this year. But he did. So way to prove us wrong, Matt. Keep it up. Keep it up. He has definitely been an amazing player since the Kaprizov injury. And it is so awesome to see players step up in times of need. And you just hope and pray that this could be the Matt Boldy of the future, not just kind of for a short spurt here, But short to medium sized spurt. It's been a pretty long run, actually. So 30 goals. It's a nice, awesome milestone for a guy at age 21. And he's the best 21-year-old in Minnesota since Marian Gaborik. In fact, he might be the best 21-year-old of all time with Minnesota. He's definitely on the list of 21-year-olds. He's on the Mount Rushmore of 21-year-olds for Minnesota. Kaprizov never got to be here at age 21. And guys like Pierre-Marc Richard were pretty raw at 21. Koivu wasn't here at 21. I could just say the word 21 50 times, so sorry if I'm babbling. The Dumbas, the Brodeens, you know, I mean, they're not going to have, like, offensive proficiency necessarily at age 21. This is one of the lamest, crappiest things I could say, and I probably shouldn't even say it, but it's like the whole controversy of, okay, who comes out when Gustav Nyquist comes in. Unfortunately, Mason Shaw, you know, being out there, there's a spot. I'm going to say it as gentle as possible because I'm not happy about it. I'd rather have Mason Shaw playing with Gustav Nyquist. I would rather him out there. Have him out there. Sorry, I'm sounding crazy. Sam Steele, it's got to be him, right? I'm hearing people talking about Brennan Duhaime. Are you sure about that? You know, I know Brennan Duhaime's numbers don't necessarily jump out at you. But whenever he does score, it's like, damn, that was good. It's always like that with Brennan Duhaime. He's an exciting player. It's just another one if you can stay freaking healthy. And earlier in his career in college and even just last season, he got assists. See, this year he's got 9 goals, him being Brennan Duhaime. He had 11 assists last year. This year he only has 1, which is kind of funny. And he did play all 80, or well, he played 80 out of 82 games anyway. Not all 80. He played 80 out of 82 games last year, so he's quite an iron man for Minnesota. Maybe scratched like twice, that's about it. So he just toughed it out. Yeah, he played through everything last year. This year, more significant injuries, unfortunately. Only 10 points in 46 games because of only 1 assist. So just simply, you add 11 assists right there, and, you know, he's at 20 points. So he'd be ahead of last year. Three more goals than last year, and definitely showed some improvement right out of the gate this year. He's a different player, is Brennan Duhaime. Unfortunately, he's age 25, so again, he's like kind of like, what's the word, deceptively older in a lot of ways, being it's only his second year in the NHL, but he played 4 years in college, or no, 3 years for Providence, and then developed with the Iowa Wild for like a year and a half, so it kind of is what it is. And gosh, he's going to turn 26 on May 22nd. Weird. That's too bad. But, well, hey, 26 is okay. You know, he's still got several years to go. He might play till he's 36 or beyond. So hopefully he does. Love what Brennan Duhaime does. And I don't want him going out in the postseason. But maybe it'll be kind of like guys in and out. I don't know. Not necessarily like all the time, but depending on the situation and such. Maybe some nights they have Steele, some nights Brennan Duhaime, some nights, you know, whoever. So it kind of is what it is there with the current roster and all of that. So it's kind of how it goes. Somebody even mentioned Connor DeWeer. Like, you're going to take out Connor DeWeer? No. That's not even a conversation for me. And obviously guys get hurt, guys get banged up. So that's a huge thing as well. It's a nice, like, you know, like they're always going to say, the Bill Guerins, the Dean Evasons, and the Joey Awajans, and the Derek Felskas, the Kalisha Townsills, and Teresa Furries are going to say, you know, it's a good thing to have. You know, it's nice to have insurance. It's nice to have, you know, it's a good problem to have. Like, okay, we have too many players that are good enough to play. Yeah, it's a nice thing to have rather than, oh, Lord, now what? We got to call up, you know, whoever. You know, like Sammy Walker would be great to have up here, but, you know, again, very deep roster. So I think I've made my point way too much already. Like, obviously, Greenway's gone. I think, yeah, he had a pretty nice goal. What was his second goal with Buffalo or something in, like, 20 games or something, where Tyson Jost is actually playing a lot better with Buffalo, interestingly. He started to kind of pick it up a bit during the past few months here that we haven't even thought about him, basically. So that's kind of entertaining. When you think about it, I'll go to it now. Again, since I don't want to just sit on game reviews. Yeah, I mean, 21 points in 55 games. It's nothing to, like, write home about. But he had, like, 1 point in, like, how many games in Minnesota? Oh, no, he had 3 assists in 12 games. Sorry. Excuse me. That was just disrespectful. But, no, better numbers in Buffalo. And yes, Greenway had that nice, like, one-handed goal or whatever. That was great. I guess he's got three with Buffalo in 11 games, but good luck, I guess. I mean, it is what it is. He's been disappointing as an NHL player. Sorry. Like, is that such a terrible thing to say? Zuccarello's been disappointing as well, and a lot of people will agree with that. Definitely been invisible. Obviously, it's like a Kirill Kaprizov thing, but there's more to Zuccarello than just Kaprizov, isn't there? There's got to be, right? He did get an assist in the game, and we appreciate it very, very much. That was on the Klingberg power play goal. It was just a second assist, but yeah, Boldy also getting an assist. And the other major statistic and milestone that Boldy achieved in the game, not just the 30 goals, but the 30 assists. So what does the math tell you there? 60 points. 60 points for Matt Boldy. So that's awesome. Joel Eriksson-Ek also eclipsed 60 points this past week. He's at 61 now. And again, an unbelievable pass for Boldy's goal. I believe that was this game, not the first game, right? So, yeah. Oh, my God. What an unbelievable kind of a wraparound type of pass through defenders at Marcus Johansson, the second assist. That was freaking gorgeous. But then Pavel Dorofeyev, my goodness, he had an incredible shorthanded goal. He had two goals in the game. And then, shorthanded? Shootout goal. An incredible shootout goal to keep the Vegas Golden Knights alive after Goudreau had a beauty. But the Wild end up losing in the shootout, unfortunately. And yes, Dorofeyev, he's definitely the star of the game. Of course, he scored. scored to tie the game up when it was 2-1. Matt Boldy got his 30th goal in a gorgeous pass from Joel Eriksson-Ek late in the second. Dorofeyev with a goal with 35 seconds remaining, which was just demoralizing. It was derailing. It was just, come on. Maybe we'll be okay. But it seems like the team that scores late, there's always this momentum turn going into OT and ultimately the shootout, and that's exactly what happened. Overtime, Wild survived that, go to the shootout, and, Eichel scored early in his shootout goal, and then the Wild go up 2-1 in the shootout thanks to Goudreau, and Dorofeyev with an incredible move that just, again, a backbreaker in a lot of ways. Like, if only he wasn't able to get that extra little movement with his stick before releasing the shot. Maybe if Gustav Nyquist was able to poke check it or whatever. It's risky. It is what it is. Did I call him Nyquist? Did I? Philip Gustafson. God, I'm sorry. Too many gooses around here. Honk, honk. But they made a great play, and then next thing you know, Riley Smith also scored to wrap it up in the shootout. It's just so that was definitely frustrating, insanely sad. The Wild unfortunately get only 1 point out of it. Vegas Golden Knights get into the 100-point range, which congratulations, a job well done for a team that's been through a hell of a lot with injury after injury. Mark Stone has missed about half the season. I'm not sure when he's coming back or if he's coming back. Logan Thompson has been out for an extended period. They're starting goalie, obviously, and their main guy and all that. But they've really hung in there, and they're still winning the division over there in the Pacific. And winning the Pacific division isn't as easy as people might think, considering how great Edmonton has been. So ever pretty much since last year's postseason, Edmonton is a different team. They really are. They did get to the West Finals. A lot of people thought they were just a sacrificial lamb to Colorado, and they were. Oh, they were. This year, though, watch out. McDavid, career high in everything. He is a step even better. And to taste the Western Finals, I'm sure he's hungrier than ever. So it's going to be real interesting. That Pacific Division is no joke. Vegas is only up by 1 point, at least if I remember correctly. I'm going to screw around here a little bit with that. But what the heck? It's showing the playoff brackets already. We're not quite there yet, are we? But I guess it's good to speculate. Minnesota would be, I guess we'd be on the road versus Dallas because of the tie, which is really annoying. Colorado would be hosting Seattle. I guess they'd technically be division champs. So hopefully that's Minnesota-Seattle for the number two seed. Vegas versus Winnipeg, number one. Edmonton versus Los Angeles. What an epic battle that would be. That's the Gretzky series right there, as they did face off in the playoffs a lot. Edmonton and L.A. when Gretzky was in Los Angeles. So that was in the early 90s and all that. So good times, good times. Boston versus the Islanders, probably sacrificial lamb, though Parisi got 20 goals this year. So good for him. Nice renaissance for Zach Parisi. We got one more renaissance for Zach Parisi. He tends to have those. That's kind of cool. Toronto and Tampa, epic battle there. New Jersey and New York. Woo! New York Rangers, that is. Carolina and Florida, probably a pretty good idea. Who's going to win that one, though? It's still a nice southeastern series there in Le Postseason. Yes, like I thought, Vegas has 104, Edmonton 103. Los Angeles has been a heck of a revelation this year with 100 points. They did show promising signs last year, but this year they're for real, man. So the Pacific Division is not a joke. It's really not. You even have Seattle there, of course, with 94 points. And they haven't clinched yet, but they're probably going to make it. The Wild officially clinched with their 98th point, yay, in a shootout loss, which is annoying. But at least they clinched 98 points, and the Wild will most likely get over 100 with five games remaining. And if we don't, what the hell happened? What the hell happened? I guess we're the 8th seed or 7th seed or something, if that takes place. Winnipeg, Calgary, Nashville still battling it out, and Seattle officially, Seattle still hasn't officially clinched. St. Louis is, they're out, right? There's only four games left for them. They can't possibly make it. They can't. They're out. So Nashville, Calgary, and Winnipeg. Winnipeg with 89. Calgary with 89. Nashville with 86. And then after that, that's the end of the road versus St. Louis, Vancouver, so on and so forth. Chicago Blackhawks, not quite the number one team in the West anymore. I'm sure a lot of us feel terrible about that. Same with the Anaheim Schmucks. Detroit can't still be alive, can they? I guess they could if they won out. Yeah, if they won all if they won all five games and went up with 89, and then someone else lost, everybody else lost basically. So they're technically not out, but whatever. Even Buffalo and Ottawa with 81, Pittsburgh and the New York Islanders are pretty much deadlocked with Florida and the New York. The Islanders, the Panthers, and the Penguins. 87 for Florida, 87 for the Islanders, 86 for the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's State of Hoppy right there. Good luck with that. Obviously still a talented team, and we're going to be talking about them in the next segment. But, it's fun to look at the standings right now because it's kind of important this time of year. Boston's chances of winning the championship are very high, yet at the same time, President's Trophy teams oftentimes find a way to lose in the playoffs for some reason. They just do. Last year's President's Trophy did not lose in the playoffs. They pretty much kicked everyone's butt and even made Tampa look like they weren't as scary as they had been the previous two seasons. So, it was an epic matchup nonetheless. We'll have to wait and see. But hopefully the Minnesota Wild don't end up as like a road team. But then again, if they do, our success level has been higher on the road in the playoffs historically. The Minnesota Wild are still winless in series with home ice. So, going all the way back to the Anaheim Ducks Western Conference Final, which just blew my mind and blew everyone else's mind. You beat two super talented teams on the road in Game 7, and then you have a team that's got the lower seed than you. In the West Final, it's like gift-wrapped, but then magically Jean-Sebastien Jaguar has the series of his life, and the Ducks end up losing the final to New Jersey in 7. So, we'll see. It is what it is. That was a great series, even though I didn't really watch a whole lot of it because I was mad. But it's going to be, it's obviously something very enjoyable. The Stanley Cup playoffs are as fun as it gets. I don't think there's any better playoffs than the Stanley Cup playoffs. NFL playoffs are exciting because it's single elimination. Obviously, NCAA tournaments, the hockey and basketball are good. Basketball always seems to have one of, and same thing in the NBA. There's always like one out of seven or so teams that's always waiting at the end to win the championship, which is really annoying. Like, freaking UConn won their fifth title. Yay. I'm real excited about that. We're going to talk about that a little bit in segment two because of the DraftKings ad, which is unfortunately outdated. We have not received the new one yet. That's what Dylan said on the Slack app today. So it is what it is, or yesterday anyway. So nothing new has been posted. The Mike Modano Award winner for this episode, this past week against just Vegas and Vegas, I guess it's Boldy again. I mean, reaching the 30-goal plateau, the 60-point plateau. What an amazing run it's been. Unfortunately, both of the goalies got beat a bit, which is disappointing, but they'll be okay. I think we'll be fine. Vegas is number one in the West for a reason. They They know how to play. They are a very good team, well coached. They're in a lot of ways overachieving with certain players, like their goaltending and all that. They're doing a great job, and they deserve credit. And Cassidy deserves credit as one of the best coaches in the NHL. So it is what it is. The James Shepherd Memorial, which me and Derek had an interesting conversation about how that all kind of came around. So very interesting. Fans kind of, again, just making fun of him. And I don't know, he was just, the guy is not a winner, man, at all, obviously. Incredible stories with like him and Lemaire and all that. Embarrassing. So that's why he will always be a part of this show in terms of the negative side, the James Shepherd Memorial. And I'm going to go with Zuccarello. I think he got it last week as well. He's just been too quiet, and it's bullcrap. You're like a 70, 80-point player, and lately you've been like a 25-point-a-year player. Like, what's the deal? So, I don't know. It's extremely frustrating. It's just like he's not the same guy, and the reason for it is I know Kaprizov's not there. I get all that, but surely you can find something somewhere. I mean, the talent's there. It can't just be Kaprizov. Obviously, a stud player like that is going to make a difference for everybody, but just shows how valuable Kaprizov is at the end of the day. And I don't know, it's making Zuccarello look a lot weaker than he probably is, which is annoying. With that, we'll take a quick break and come back. Here from DraftKings, preview of the upcoming games. Look at the NCAA Frozen Four, baby. And then ultimately, fan interaction in segment number three. Segment number two, previous segment. Let's get to DraftKings immediately. Now, again, our apologies. You're at the Hockey Podcast Network, THPN, for the older, outdated ad. But that's where we're going to have to go right now. And still, join DraftKings, of course. The biggest tournament in college basketball and college hockey is underway. I'm just throwing that in. And the action is getting started on DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps. Right now, customers can bet just $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, combine multiple bets for a shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings will be featuring parlays and odds boosters all tournament long, so be sure to check out the DraftKings Sportsbook app every day to see what they have in store. So, in all reality, you have baseball now. You have you have baseball now, you have the NBA, you have hockey, so you have plenty of stuff to bet. Hopefully bet on the Minnesota Wild over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sorry, Hoppy, but the Wild are going to beat them, damn it, right? Or at least I would like to believe so. So that's something we will lean towards. The sports world has definitely picked up. It hasn't stopped just because the NCAA basketball tournament is over. I hated the finish. It was nice to see teams like San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, and the Miami Hurricanes in the Final Four. But of course, there's always one frickin', you know, super team or super school that's you know, one of the 7-8 teams that's always around in the Final Four that ends up winning it, like Kentucky and all that. I mean, you get sick of it, but that's how it ended. I guess you might as well have bet on UConn because you would have won money for sure. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code THPN. And my deep apologies to the Hockey Podcast Network for saying the XXX thing. Because that's what the ad shows, but we need to stick with THPN. So I will learn my lesson there. Right now, new customers can bet $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN, the Hockey Podcast Network. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And again, thank you very much, and Brave the Wild continues on the Hockey Podcast Network. Very happy about that. That is the flagship network. At least it was as when there was the Basketball Podcast Network and the Pigskin Podcast Network. Now it's back what it was before, the main thing. It's what it is. It is simply the Hockey Podcast Network, and that's it. The other two are no more. They've ceased to exist. Timberwolves Explosion and Purple Mafia have now moved to Anchor or Spotify for podcasters. So that's how it is. So that's how it's going to be. There's a chance that those two can get some ads, hopefully via Spotify for podcasters. So at least that's how that works, I would like to believe. So they say, why did I do this? What did I just do? I blew it. I blew it, laddie. The Pittsburgh Penguins are next on board. They're on deck and all that. I'm still waiting for the darn thing to... There we go. That's my own fault anyway. That's tonight, the 6th of March... April, pardon me. The Wild and the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are like the ninth seed, basically, over there in the Eastern Conference. 38-31-10. Fifth place in the Metropolitan Division. The Wild are third, I guess, by some kind of default at the moment in our division. Mason Shaw, and it even says it suffered ACL. It's weird because I never saw Russo or Joe Smith say it, but they probably did. I just didn't see it. I was digging and looking and looking, but everybody's like, it's an ACL, and it is. The Wild announced that Shaw suffered an ACL on April the 1st. April Fools. Yeah, real funny, right? Oh, it sucks so bad. Kaprizov again. Practice Wednesday, April the 5th, and could return for Saturday's game, according to Jesse Pierce, of course, NHL.com. She's all over the place, and good for her. So, and yeah. Really happy to hear that Kirill Kaprizov is about ready to go. Yep, he's been practicing. So Gustav Nyquist returned to practice and could return before the end of the season, according to Jazzy Bears, NHL.com. Yep, so very good news. Marcus Patterson, Pittsburgh Penguins, designated for long-term injury. So he's probably not going to play again this year. That was in late March. Jan Ruta is week-to-week, according to Coach Mike Sullivan. Dmitry Kulikov, remember that name. Dmitry Kulikov, placed him on injured reserve as of March the 12th, so he's probably not going to play again this year either. Probably not. Penguins did beat the Wild. I remember that a while back. Was that a week before Thanksgiving? It must have been, yeah. November the 17th, Thursday, 6-4 loss for the Wild. And this one's in Pittsburgh, unfortunately. The Wild weren't playing all that great around that time, if I remember correctly. The goaltending was kind of like, yeah. It was like a little later when things really started to change. Yeah, Gustafson gave up 5 goals in that game. Tristan Jarry gave up 4. And, of course, the 6th goal was an empty netter. Sid the kid, no more. No longer the kid, Sid the veteran. Very much so. 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists. Drew Larkson, that got a couple of goals. And everyone else kind of was adequate at best. And, again, Philip Gustafson not so good, unfortunately, in a disappointing loss. 24th in goals for Minnesota, 17th for Pittsburgh, 3rd in goals against for Minnesota, 20th at Pittsburgh. Power play, the Wild are 13th, Pittsburgh 17th. Penalty kill, the Wild are 12th. Wow, so nice improvement from earlier in the year. 18th for Pittsburgh. Penalty minutes, the Wild are 27th. Pittsburgh is 19th, and so on and so forth. So we'll look at the players a little bit, very briefly here. Tristan Jarry's been the main goalie. He's nothing special. Casey DeSmith, main, is the other kind of platoon goalie. Nothing special. Both giving up about 3 goals a game. In fact, over that for Casey DeSmith. Their save percentages are reasonable, like a little over 90%. It's like, just okay, you know. And then you got some serious talent down in the with the actual skaters. 88 points and 78 games for Crosby. He stayed healthy all year. Knock on wood. The ultimate knock on wood when it comes to staying healthy is a guy who signed a new contract last summer, Jenny Malkin. 80 points in 78 games. He has played every game this year. Congratulations, Malkin. You'd think Pittsburgh could be like in first place or something with that guy staying healthy. And even Jake Guentzel, who'd been kind of snake bit with injuries. It's crazy to think about all the players that stayed healthy for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like Jason Zucker couldn't stay healthy for his life. He's only missed 4 games this year. And they're not even in the playoffs at the moment. That's weird. It's funny, but I mean, it just shows you. Just goes to show you. You know, Jeff Carter hasn't been as good as people would like, I'm sure. Letang, he's missed a significant amount of time. Yeah, that's the one thing about the Penguins is they've had so many damn injuries. But I think in a lot of ways, just the defense and the goaltending is just not up to par because the offense is certainly there. Jake Guentzel, again, who's had some freak injuries, almost 70 points here in 74 games. 35 goals for Jake Guentzel. Jake the Snake Guentzel. Son of Mike Guentzel, former Gopher assistant head coach, basically, back in the day with going all the way back to Ruger, if I remember correctly. Yeah, hell of a coach for many years for the Gophers. Yeah, Pittsburgh is kind of up and down. They're literally up and down. They're kind of a 500-ish type of team. Kind of. I mean, they're above 500, but they haven't been that good. You know, they're what are they? Bouncing everywhere. Sorry, Pittsburgh is 2-3 in their last five, losing on March 28th at Detroit 7-4. What the hell is that? A 2-0 shutout versus Nashville. Okay, 4-3 loss to Boston. Welcome to the planet. 4-2 victory over Philly. Okay, sure. 5-1 butt kicking by the New Jersey Devils, who they faced off with the Penguins back in the 91. Prince of Wales Finals, Conference Finals, before it was called the Easter Conference, the Prince of Wales. That wasn't the, they didn't face off in the Conference Final, that was Boston. What am I talking about? It was like real early in the playoffs. New Jersey took Pittsburgh 7 games, and then after that, the Penguins just kind of took off. Yep, and then, yeah, kind of took off and beat Boston easily and won the Stanley Cup over the North Stars. God forbid, that sucked. But it is what it is. Great playoff run for the North Stars that ended with a 3-game butt-kicking, unfortunately, to our chagrin. The Minnesota Wild will beat the Penguins. The Minnesota Wild will beat the Penguins. I can't see the Wild losing 3 games in a row. And if they do, shame on us. The Penguins have not been good. The Wild went 5-2-3 over the Pittsburgh Penguins. How can I bet against him? Matt Boldy at least gets his 31st goal. I think he has a multi-point game and a 5-3 win over the Penguins. The Wild are not going to get swept by the Penguins this year, and they're not going to lose 3 games in a row. That would be real crappy, wouldn't it? Like, they're not going to do that. They're just not. There's too much at stake. A legitimate chance to win the division, regardless of how we feel about home ice advantage. St. Louis reeks of a trap game. It always has been, always will be, but the Wild did escape last time around. This is an XL Energy Center. The St. Louis Blues are out of the playoffs. Marco Stendella out for the remainder of the season. Former Wild, of course. Pavel Buchnevich out for Tuesday's game on April the 4th. So he'll probably play against the Wild. Robert Thomas again out for April 4th. Da, 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 da. So he's had a hell of a year with 46 assists. Jordan Kyra with 37 goals. Good for him. Jordan Binnington's a mess. And former teammates have been making fun of him. Like, yeah, I can't believe we actually won the cup with him at goalie. Because he bleeping sucks. So that's interesting that people are talking like that. The Wild scored 8 goals last time around in a mess of a night. What a weird game. Looked like the Wild were going to lose, and then we just absolutely went berserk. It was fun. Binnington went crazy and got game misconduct and almost injured Ryan Hartman. It's a miracle he didn't, actually. The Wild lead the season series 2-1. The Wild should and better sweep these guys. Just do it. Go on and sweep them. Let's get to 102 points, at least 100 or 101, whatever it is, but to triple digits and beyond with a win over the St. Louis Blues team. It reeks of a trap game that you'd blow it and lose, but I don't know. They're giving up 3.5 goals a game. They're awful. Save percentages are 89, even though Binnington and Greiss have a combined 3 shutouts. Kyrou is a really nice player. Buchnevich, he's probably going to play against the Wild, and he was a factor last time around. Braden Shen always has been, blah, blah, blah. Thomas will probably play. Scandella's out for the remainder of the year, but he's only played 20 games. I mean, I don't know. I think he's done. I think he should just retire. I'm not saying it to be sarcastic or be a jerk. He's just not been, he's just done. He just is. St. Louis, for some reason, is 3-2 in their last 5. I don't know why. they beat Vancouver 6-5 at home. Beat Chicago in Chicago 5-3. Lost at Nashville 6-1. Lost at home versus Boston anyway 4-3, and beat Philly 4-2. If I mentioned that already, I apologize. I don't think I did. St. Louis is 14th in goals, 27th in goals against, 23rd in the power play, 28th on the penalty kill, and they look terrible against us. Let me tell you, penalty minutes 6th, and so on and so forth. The Wild need to beat the St. Louis Blues club. They're miraculously a game above 500. And they were kind of in the mix for a while. But I think the Wild need to take care of business. Win this thing with a comfortable 4-2, 4-2, 4-5-2 type of game. Beat the St. Louis Blues comfortably and move on from there. The Wild could finish very strong this year. They could finish very strong. St. Louis might be a trap game, so obviously I'm kind of so-so about that in a way. Then you get a couple of days off to play the Chicago Blackhawks as we try to move right along here. 25-46-6 in the United Center. If this isn't a trap game, I don't know what is, because it could be. Filip Kurechev out for the remainder of the season. Cole Gutman, injured reserve, so he's probably not going to play again. and Colin Blackwell season-ending surgery, so on and so forth. Blackhawks are the worst scoring team in the league, 32nd with only 188 goals. Goals against are 25th. They have the least amount of assists as well, so they just don't score at all. That's funny. 29th in the power play, no surprise. 21st in the penalty kill, and 18th in the penalty minutes overall. The Wild are sweeping the Blackhawks so far this year. Will we complete the sweep? Yes. I'm sounding insanely optimistic here with three wins in a row, but I think the Wild finished very strong going into the postseason. But unfortunately, I see at least one loss coming up, but it might be next week's show. Might be. The Wild might end up sweeping this week, which sounds insanely optimistic, but we'll see. March 26th versus Vancouver. This is all in Chicago until Calgary, where they actually won. That's funny. So all these four home games they lost, 4-2 to Vancouver, 4-1 to Dallas, 5-3 to St. Louis, 6-3 to New Jersey. Woo! Yeah, but they're an awesome offense. New Jersey's not the team of the old days. It's not our uncle's New Jersey Devils. Well, we're the uncle. These guys my age are the uncle now, like the Derek Kralskas and stuff. We're all, us Gen Xers that remember the gritty, grinded out Martin Brodeur, Patrick Elias, New Jersey Devils that would grind it out and beat people that way. This is a much more offensive-minded team. So 6-3 is more realistic with this Devils club. The Blackhawks beat Calgary, which is a huge loss for the Flames. Just that's what kind of year it's been for Calgary. A lot of people had them winning the Pacific Division this year, and that's not a stupid prediction at all. They just made us look stupid because they're stupid. The Flames are stupid. They're the Simmers. I don't know. The Calgary Simmers. The Calgary Ice. I don't know. They're disappointing. That's all. The Calgary flamed out. 4-3 victory by the Blackhawks over the Flames. Ugh, that's bad. That's really bad. But, you're right there fighting for a playoff berth, and you can't beat the Blackhawks in your house. It's just awful. Alex Daylock, a couple of shutouts this year, but the goaltending stinks overall for the Blackhawks. I'd have to say Mrazek has given up 3.5 goals. Daylock, actually, adequate. He's kind of like here. He's kind of like he was here, like upper twos for goals against average. Got a couple shutouts. Same percentage of 91. Like, nice numbers, really. Just kind of an average Joe, He's not great, but he'll turn in a couple of good games. He's generally an average Joe, him being Alex Daylock. I think he's going to be a net again. Mrazek's been awful. Again, 3.5 goals a game, 89%, blah, blah, blah. Max Domi, I don't think he's there anymore, is he? Yep, that's what I thought. Traded to the Dallas Stars. Yeah, he's not there anymore. Patrick Kane's on the New York Rangers. Taylor, so who's left? I think pretty sure Seth Jones. Yep. Taylor Radish. He's the Radish guy. I'm just kidding. And he's in his mid-20s. 37 points, 20 goals on the season. He looks older than he is. It's funny. but Seth Jones has been a huge bust for the Blackhawks. Jonathan Toews is still there, but he's missed a bunch of time again. 30 points in 48 games. The Wild need to beat this club again. And sweep the season series. If you're going to sweep the Blackhawks, you might as well do it this year, because we didn't do it when it mattered, unfortunately, in the playoffs years ago. They swept us. And after we had that epic series with the St. Louis Blues with our red-hot Devan Dubnyk in net, he wasn't so red-hot when the Blackhawks dispatched us very quickly in that series. It was like 3-0 Blackhawks, like, before you even warmed the seat you were in. It was, like, ridiculous. I remember that. It was like, what the hell? Well, that was game one. I was like, what is this? And then that whole series is just embarrassing. And the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup over a very good Tampa team that just wasn't ready to win Stanley Cups yet. Unfortunately, it was like quite a few years later for them. The Wild need to take care of business with these teams. So a golden opportunity to win the division because of this schedule. You got to beat these teams. Pittsburgh is an easy possibility for the Wild to lose. That could be the loss of this group, particularly being it's in Pittsburgh, and they're fighting for a playoff hope as well. And that team has a lot of pride. They've won multiple cups. Crosby, Malkin have won 3. Other guys have won 2. And others are just, it's a good team. So the Wild might lose to Pittsburgh. It's just their goaltending sucks so bad. I think the Wild should be able to take care of business. Connor Hellebuck's a damn good goalie. Winnipeg is still a dangerous team. But the Wild crushed this club just a few weeks ago. They absolutely demolished the Winnipeg Jets, and why the heck shouldn't we do it again? This will be a back-to-back, so of course it's going to be two different goalies. The Wild lead the series 3-0. It has been a dominant run. The Wild could have a chance to sweep two division rivals that have been headaches in the past. The Blackhawks, of course, many years ago now, and the Winnipeg Jets much more recently. They beat us in 5 games during Chuck Fletcher's last season as head general manager of the Minnesota Wild. Sam Gagne, injured reserve. Cole Perfetti, out for at least 8 weeks back in February, so we're probably not going to see him, unless I'm an idiot and I already missed it, but that's always possible. Winnipeg is 21st in goals, 10th in goals against, 24th in the power play, 5th in the penalty kill, 5th, 16th in penalty minutes, and so on and so forth. Again, the Wild lead the season series. Winnipeg is 2-3 in their last 5, not helping their chances to make the postseason. 4-1 loss at LA, 3-0 loss to the Sharks. Yuck. Yuck. Ugh. They beat Detroit 6-2, beat New Jersey 6-1. Wow. They're like, okay, we got to stop screwing around here. And then lost to Calgary 3-1. So they're kind of an up and down, inconsistent team, and they have been that all year. There's no doubt. There is no doubt. They look good early in the year with Rick Bowness taking over, and I think he's a good coach, but I don't know. Maybe they're just it's just not their year, so to speak. And that's kind of obvious. Kyle Connor with 79 points. He's basically a point-a-game guy. Awesome year for him. Josh Morrissey also with 71. Mark Scheifele with 39 goals on the season. 64 points. Blake Wheeler has gotten much and much older. He's gotten a lot older. Sorry. Much and much older, huh? 38 assists on the year. Good for him. Cole Perfetti, 51 games, 30 points. But I don't think he's going to play. He's probably not going to play again this year, but maybe in the playoffs he will, if they make it. Pierre-Luc Dubois with 61 points in 70 games. Very, very strong season for Pierre-Luc Dubois. I love that. Just rolls right off your tongue. I love it. Connor Hellebuyck is a hell of a goalie. We know. 34 wins, 25 losses, 2.57 goals against average, 3 shutouts, and about 92% save percentage. David Rittich, a respectable backup with 9-7 record, 2.65 goals against average, no shutouts. Save percentage pretty average, though, at 90. So, again, a very, very, very winnable game. Surely the Wild are going to lose to either Pittsburgh or Winnipeg. Maybe we lose some weird game to Chicago or St. Louis. It's very possible. But I think the Wild at least go 3-1 this week and have a golden opportunity to really, 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 you know, beef things up here. Maybe get to 106 points, which would be super awesome. And then even a shot at 108 versus Nashville. But I don't think the Wild win that game. Maybe my vibe will be different coming in. But the Wild always lose to Nashville, and it's the final game of the season. Seems like the Wild never play well in the final game of the season unless we're missing the playoffs. Like, yay, we won the last game at least. That was great. Like Todd Richards' last game. That was wonderful. Yay, we won. We beat the Stars. That was so cool. Todd, you're fired. That's kind of how things went that way because it was such an average. He was such an average coach, and the team was so average. So, and Todd Richards grew up not too far from here. Crystal, Minnesota. My next-door neighbor here, just a few blocks away to the north. Pretty crazy. But the Wild have a golden opportunity to sweep this week. Man. I don't know. I think to be safe, it's almost impossible to go 4-0. I mean, this team can do it. I think maybe the Wild do not win their last 2 games and wind up with 104. That's just a guess. I'm hoping the Wild get to at least 106 here. I really am, but I don't know, maybe like a 4-3 loss here versus Winnipeg, or 3-2 loss, something weird. You know, maybe they kind of, a little bit of pride, they kind of hang in there. But the most likely guy to score versus the Blues, which I didn't even mention, and I'm really sorry, would be Jared Spurgeon versus the Blackhawks. It's going to be Matt Zuccarello finally scoring again. Of course, he's more of an assist guy anyway, but yeah, he'll score a goal in that game. Connor DeWeer will score against the Winnipeg Jets. Brendan Duhaime will score against the Winnipeg Jets, but the Wild end up not winning the game, unfortunately. Brendan Duhaime, 3-2 Winnipeg. Wild maybe get a point out of it, so maybe 105, something like that, and then see what happens versus the Nashville Predators. With that said, let's go to the NCAA tournament and the Frozen Four, folks. Yep, you can see it flashing on Blades of Steel when you're playing the tournament. Minnesota versus Boston U. They're both flashing, and then Michigan Quinnipiac are on the other side. I always think of that when I see the NCAA hockey tournament. Minnesota, Boston U. Ooh, it's going to be... I'm really looking forward to this. Obviously, again, Boston U is a very talented team, and they have many, many national championships. The Gophers have five, trying to go for our sixth. Boston U... I'm going to get a quick thing. I think they have six, but I want to make 100% sure. I know one of them, between Boston U and Boston College, they have five, so they're just like us. 1971, 72, 78, and those were at our expense in some cases, where either we lost in the Frozen Four or the final or something. But interesting. Yep, Luke Tuck. Luke Tuck is an alternate captain on that team. I wouldn't be surprised if he's related to Alex. They won it all in 95. Interesting. Do they play Boston College? Or that's interesting. I got to look that up here. And then 2009, the Boston University won. And they ended up losing in 2012 to Providence, if I remember correctly, when the goalie lost the puck. And that I believe that was Providence, right? Oh, that was more recent, much more recent. That was 2016. Sorry. They ended up losing, though, yeah. 2012... I think that was Boston College that knocked the Gophers out. Yeah, I always get the two mixed up, the Boston University Terriers and Boston College. So it's a pain in the butt sometimes and easy to mix stuff up, but it's how it is. I'm curious about something. I'm going to look it up real quick. NCAA hockey tournament. Come on, man. Okay. Because I know the Gophers got to the... It was still called the Final Four. It got turned into the Frozen Four in 1999. Show the damn bracket. Yep, the Boston University beat the Gophers 7-3 and ultimately beat Maine, who beat Michigan in triple overtime, 4-3, in the other Frozen Four game. Michigan has lost a couple of overtime games in the Final Four before, and it wasn't the Frozen Four. It was still the Final Four back then. Lake Superior State, that was when they're... I believe they'd won a couple of national titles in a row. Their run was ended by Boston University. So that makes sense. Gophers beat Ren... Yeah, we played them a few times, I think. Yeah, Rensselaer. And then we beat Colorado College. That was coached by Don Lucia. Yes, that's pretty cool. That was actually a very impressive win, considering Colorado College back then was considered a very talented team. We got to the Final Four... and lost to Boston U. So hopefully that doesn't happen here. Interesting how Michigan's over there, too. The only team missing is Quinnipiac. Interesting. So three of the teams that are in the Frozen Four this year were in the 95 Final Four. Interesting. So a little bit of history there. Quinnipiac is undefeated in the semifinal round, winless in the championship round. When Michigan has a ton of... championships, unfortunately. Again, Boston University and Minnesota have five championships each, so we're both chasing our sixth. Winnipeg, I believe, has nine or ten. Excuse me, Michigan, I believe, has five or ten. 1948, 1950, see, like I said, a lot of these were from way back in the day. So, 1948, 1951, 1952, 1953. Wow, three in a row. Wow. And then 1955, that's... 4 out of 5 there. Oh my God, 1956. That's 5 out of 6 years they won the national championship. Jeez, 1964 and then 1996 and then 98. So it's been quite a while. They lost the championship round in 2011 and also in 77 and 57. They've been to the Frozen Four a billion times. They've been to the tournament even more. Blah, blah, blah. But 9 championships for Michigan. Overall, Luke Hughes is an alternate captain. Interesting there. So, yeah. And Brandon Norato is an interim coach his first season, and they might be the best team in college hockey. A lot of people would say the Minnesota Gophers are, and I would like to believe that. I would very, very much like to believe that. I hope the Gophers can overcome this, and I am going to pick the Gophers to beat Boston University, Michigan to beat Quinnipiac, and the Gophers to beat Michigan. I'm going to stick to that with a 4-3 win in a very epic battle. So it was 2015, okay, when the, Providence, I believe, knocked the Gophers out that year, if I remember correctly. And I think they won it all, if I remember. Yeah, pretty sure Providence won the national championship that year. So, yep, crazy stuff. Boston University lost in 97. They lost in 94 in the final game. But, yeah, it is what it is. They've had a pretty good run. It's been a pretty darn good program over in Boston University. So, really looking forward to that. Their head coach is also in his first season, interestingly enough. So, it's going to be fun. It's going to be very, very fun. Now, we'll jump around a little more into the regular prospects. And okay, good. I didn't mess it up. I thought I did. That would have sucked. Liam Ogren has been incredible in the postseason over there in Sweden. He has been awesome. He was like pretty much the player of the week here for the MNW prospects. Him and Benk here are just unbelievable. Ogren, yeah, my gosh. 6 goals, 2 assists in 6 games. So 8 total points in the qualification playoffs, as they call it. It's been pretty damn epic, though. He's had a hell of a... He's really starting to step up, and that's a really encouraging sign for Liam Ogren and somebody that steps it up in the postseason, something that Kevin Fiala really didn't do in Minnesota. We'll see what he does with the Los Angeles Kings. Danila Yurov, as we stay in Europe, if that's okay. That was funny, right? Wasn't it, though? No. 11 playoff games, no points. Damn. Come on, Danila. But that is the KHL. So he's like a little baby so far at the professional level. It is what it is. And I didn't say that to be insulting. It's just he's a baby in the NA in professional hockey right now. So not meant as an insult. Please don't take it that way. Merat Huznadinov is a stud. Yeah, we know. 12 playoff games, 1 goal, 6 assists. Definitely, again, more of a playmaker, just like 11 goals, 30 assists in the regular season. But in 12 playoff games, 1 goal and 6 assists, 7 points. And again, is a very good penalty kill type of guy, a phenomenal skater. Love Merat Huznadinov's future in the NHL. I can't wait to see him with the Minnesota Wild. I don't think he plays a single game in Iowa. That's my guess. I'd be very surprised if he did. So, but he might. Maybe like a cup of coffee or something just because, like, hey, no, you can't just step right in. You gotta, hey, we don't have time for petty bullshit. So, no, I'm just kidding. I love Bill Guerin, man, and how can you not? He's done a hell of a job. He really has, considering what the salary cap situation is. And obviously adding to it by having two players leave. It is what it is. But getting them out of the locker room has definitely been a revelation for this team, this fan base, the franchise and all that. And I think it's helped this team much more than hurt. It is what it is. I mean, we were all excited when those contracts were signed. We all were pushing for it. So we're paying the piper, as they say in the sports world. We're paying the piper, laddie. It is what it is, laddie. It is what it is. Sorry. Iowa had 1 good game and 1 not so good game, basically a win and a loss. Our Marco Rossi hanging in there, a point a game, 16 goals, 33 assists, 49 points. Nick Paton has been the best player, simply the best player at age 27, unfortunately, out of Delta, British Columbia, 5'9". Solid player. He's been phenomenal though at the AHL level. 57 points, 23 goals, 34 assists. He's a multi-point game like guy like every night. Sammy Walker's gotten real quiet, and it's a bummer. It really is. 25 goals, 20 assists. Adam Beckman's gotten quiet as well. 23 goals, 12 assists. Again, they haven't been playing a whole lot, but it's still, when they have been playing, those guys haven't been factoring in the scoring. Mitchell Chafee had an ACL long, long ago. Jesper Volstedt continues to get better and better and better. 17 wins, 13 losses, 91 save percentage, 2.64 goals against average. Continues to get better and better. And McIntyre with 3 shutouts on the year with 2.93 goals against average. Save percentage somehow under 90. But when he's been good, he's been great. And when he's not been good, it's been those nasty 5-1 losses. And that can bring up your icky save percentage. Iowa's okay. I think they're going to hang on to a possible playoff berth and so on and so forth. With that said, I'm going to dig around a little more. Obviously, a lot of young guys in the juniors. There's college players and such. But so we won't talk about the college players at this point, except Faber, obviously, getting into that Frozen Four. And it's extremely exciting. Came back to school for one more year to go for it. And then, of course, you have Cooley and Nyes and all them. And what a great run has been for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And we all appreciate it so much around here. I don't think O'Rourke and all them got a point this past week. Yeah, Hunt is still at 10. O'Rourke is still at 9. O'Rourke still at 9. They've been playing better, but generally speaking, Iowa's been kind of a up and down run this past week or two here. Nate Benoit, Mr. I Score Once in a Blue Moon, hasn't scored since 17 games, still at 1 goal, 5 assists, with the Waterloo Blackhawks ever being traded. Like, not literally traded out of Minnesota, but different U.S. Hockey League club. Kyle Mostas, 66 games, 11 goals, 54 assists, 65 total points. And in the postseason so far, nothing, unfortunately. So that's too bad. 3 playoff games, nothing for Kyle Mostas. So that's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate. Kaden Banchero is just getting better and better and better and better and better and better. I could go on all day. 57 games, 85 points in the regular season, 37 goals, 48 assists. So those are their final numbers for the regular season. Are you ready for the postseason? 3 games, right? 3 games? 4 goals, 4 assists. Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. Wow. 8 points, Kaden Banchero. And that's why he was the player of the game, or player of the week, for us at MNW Prospects. Awesome, guys. Awesome. So Jack Peart, of course, lost to the Gophers. Carson Lambos has played in 4 games in the playoffs, 1 assist. He finished the regular season at 48 points in 61 games, 12 goals, 36 assists. 1 point in 4 games in his playoffs so far for the Winnipeg Hunter Hitt. Okay, no, wrong accent. French. Hunter Hitt. Point a game in the playoffs. Point a game in the playoffs for the Saginaw Spirit. 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 playoff games, 4 points. Thank you, Hunter Hitt. Sorry. University of Denver out in the first round. Reger Lorenz finished with 9 points in the regular season. Michael Milne, of course, yeah, he's with the Iowa Wild. Yep, and he had 10 points so far this year. Ryan Healy, they lost in the first round of the tournament as well. They're at Harvard, of course. 8 points in the regular season as a right shot D man. David Spachik. All right, well, 2 assists in 4 playoff games so far. Finished with 57 points in 58 regular season games. Very strong for a defenseman. Point-to-game defenseman. Half a point-to-game in the playoffs so far. He was a plus-minus of 53. David Spachik. That is phenomenal. Servak Petrovsky out of Veli Sara, Slovakia. 55 points in 62 games. So, like, on average, slightly below last year in that sense. And actually has less points in the playoffs, too. What the heck? Come on. Come on, Petrovsky. Let's go. 3 games, 2 points. Last year, he had 6 points in 7 games. I guess it's a similar pace. So, it's like 1 game with no points. So, hang in there, Saravak. Hopefully, he can continue to get better and better and better and better. Gotta like what he has done overall, but I don't know, kind of a semi-disappointing year compared to last year. Semi-disappointing, but I don't know. It is what it is. He's learning, he's growing, blah, blah, blah. With that, we'll take a quick break and return for fan interaction. We are back here on Brave the Wild fan interaction segment. It is awesome to be back on board and talk to you out there at Brave the Wild, at Brave the Wild. And when you want to comment and get on the show, hashtag BTWMN, hashtag BTWMN. That way I can kind of have everything organized and all that. Same with the Crease and Assist, Crease and Assist podcast from Derek Felska, hashtag Crease Podcast, hashtag Crease Podcast. really cool, as we tend to interact with each other quite a bit, which is so nice. Jay Bushy said he's very proud of, he says, very proud of my nephew continuing his hockey career, and I wanted to make sure to hashtag BTWMN, BTWMN that. The Kalamazoo Wings, who used to be a fun team to play against when the Minnesota Moose were around in the IHL. Kalamazoo Wings, I believe they're in the, I'm going to make 100% sure, ECHL. Okay, I'm going to follow them. I like the Kalamazoo Wings. It's a cool name. I believe they used to be the affiliate for the Minnesota North Stars way back in the day. Yep, that's in Michigan. The K-Wings add, yep, this is their Twitter account, and I made sure to follow them. K-Wings add two cornerstone players from the San Diego State. What am I talking about? I'm thinking about that team. St. Cloud State Huskies. Yep. Welcome to the zoo, gents. Welcome to the zoo, Kalamazoo. Yep. Brendan Bushy, defenseman. Aiden Spilaki, forward. So, cool. Congratulations, guys, and continuing your NHL career. And congratulations to your nephew, Jay Bushy. Absolutely. Brendan Bushy, defenseman, will be playing for the Kalamazoo Wings. Isn't that cool? So, huge shout out there. Huge shout out there. And I made sure to follow the Kalamazoo Wings. I've known who they are for forever. So, I don't know why I wasn't following them. My apologies. I'm a fan. I like that team. It's a cool name. Ready for the division showdown, and the Wild do have a good chance here. Ask Brave the Wild, or Let's Talk Minnesota Wild. Ask Brave the Wild and tag it. I don't even necessarily, it could be ask and comment. Yep, tag it, hashtag BDWMN, and ask as many questions, comments as you'd like, and so on and so forth. And those of you that have, thank you so much. Can't thank you enough. Brian Herrera says, what is your favorite beer and snack combo when watching playoff hockey? Beer and snack combo. Well, I like so many different kinds of beers, because I'm a craft beer connoisseur. For right now, obviously Torpedo, Sierra Nevada Torpedo is like Mount Rushmore with me. But that's usually kind of like later in the night. I usually have that one because it's a little stronger, and that's kind of like the last beer of the night usually. So maybe something a little lighter early on if I'm actually watching the game still. Something like anything from like a Modelo Chelada. Believe it or not, you might think I'm crazy. Like, he likes Chelada's? Yeah, I do. All the different flavors. And you like the tomato ones or the piña picante and mango chili and all those. But otherwise, one that I want to give a huge plug to that I don't think gets enough credit in this world, Summit Horizon Red IPA. Summit Horizon Red IPA. It's back around, and I just, so I'm giving them a free plug right now. I really love red IPAs. And that one's not too strong, so it's like you can enjoy it during a game and all that. It's not like necessarily a final beer of the night. I usually have one or two. I don't binge drink or anything crazy like that. So, but if it's like maybe the red one might be a little bit lighter than say the Torpedo. So Horizon Red IPA, I'll give you for that. For snack, anything like the smokehouse almonds, or oftentimes like popcorn, or I'm just all over the place. Sorry. What's the other thing? Cheez-It crackers. Yep. That's just how it is. Yep. And feel free to tell me as well, Brian, because it's fun. It's a fun, snack, type of thing. Jay Bushy says, do we see Nyquist before the playoffs? According to the Wild and all that, they're probably expecting that, maybe at least the Nashville game. So it's going to be cool to see Gustav Nyquist and, Kirill Kaprizov back. And we get to see who, unfortunately, is out. Right now you have Steele, Hartman, and Zuccarello on the top line, and they haven't done all that much. Hartman's been the best player out of that group. Eck, Johansson, and Boldy has been a phenomenal line. Absolutely. I mean, just keep them together as long as you can, I hope. Goudreau, Foligno, Oscar Sundqvist, great passer in Sundqvist. Goudreau has been wonderful and all that. Sundqvist's been a little bit all over the place. He's been quieter, but he's still a valuable guy. Foligno's had a very disappointing season. And the fourth line's awesome. Like, I don't even touch it. Duhaime and Ryan Reeves. It could have been Shaw for this or this guy for that, because Duhaime missed so much damn time this year. So, most likely the odd man out is Steele. This is going to be tough, isn't it? Because that's two guys coming back, huh? Yeah, it's going to be tough. Marcus Foligno. No, I'm kidding. This is not going to be that easy, is it? But obviously guys get banged up as well. I don't want it to be Duhaime, and it just probably cannot be Reeves. He is a playoff guy. So it's between Duhaime and Sundqvist, isn't it? Crap. Crap, I want Sunquist out there, but I want Deheim out there too. So maybe it is Deheim. Man. Well, like they say, it's a good problem to have. Yeah, because Steel, that's kind of the obvious one, the top line. You just move Steel, Zuccarello, and Kaprizov. Or, excuse me, it's Kaprizov with Hartman and Zuccarello instead of Steel. That's an easy one. But after that, yes, Nyquist. Nyquist versus Sunquist or Deheim, I guess. And then Shaw, of course, unfortunately, is out for a long time. Interesting question. Yeah, that's good. It's obviously a good question, and I do believe he will play for the Minnesota Wild before the playoffs, him being Gustav Nyquist. So that's my belief. But, yeah, as for the line, though, man, that's going to be tough. Obviously, because that's the other, you know, in a lot of ways, that's kind of like the string attached to the question is, well, where's he going to play? Yeah, that's tough. That is really tough. The second line, you can't screw with that. So Sunquist is probably, or Nyquist is probably going to wind up on the third line, I think, early on, and then see how it goes. That's really interesting. That's fascinating, because you can't change the second line. You cannot. Boldy's been phenomenal, unless you think Johansson's not been as good. But anyhow, here we go. Good question, though, Jay, and congratulations to your nephew. Continue that career. Love it. Derek Felska, the Derek Felska lightning round hath returneth dead. Maybe I'm like Wade Duck. I don't know. I had a Wade Duck thing. He does that a lot, that half, but that's Garfield and Friends way back in the day. Derek Felska says, what Easter egg, to use movie/gaming jargon, will the Wild discover in the playoffs? What player will turn out to be a surprise? Yep, so an Easter egg. Yep, surprise in a good way, and perhaps a clutch performer. In the past, it really was Joel Eriksson-Ek, and he was definitely an Easter egg in the early days of Joel Eriksson-Ek being in the postseason. Obviously, he's not an Easter egg now. These are great questions. So an Easter egg on this current roster. It's, oh my God, I'm like hitting all the wrong buttons here. Sorry. Oh, come on. Sorry. Why did I do that to myself? So, it's definitely not Boldy anymore. He's up front. It would have been him, considering what he was. Possibly somebody like Hunter DeWuer. That's the name that's floating in front of my eyes right now. Like, not literally. It's, you know, like my, you know, it's like words flashing on the screen of my eyelids, so to speak. Connor DeWuer. I have this feeling about him. There's, as long as they don't sit him down, and I think that would be foolhardy to do so. I think Connor DeWuer, that's that. He's that Eric Halla, you know, Joel Eriksson-Ek type that's going to emerge. Like how Eric Halla was that kind of guy. Joel Eriksson-Ek was that kind of guy years later. I think Connor DeWuer is the one that's going to be the Easter egg in the postseason. He's going to surprise some people, and we're going to be like, oh my God, wow. He's going to score some big goals and make some big plays, like shorthanded possibly, to help this team win some playoff games and maybe playoff series, God willing. That would be wonderful. Connor DeWuer is where I'm leaning towards. I might want, yeah, a couple of these questions I might want to return your way because it's fun. It's a cool conversation. I'd like to hear your point of view on that. Obviously, not to like, oh, I'm not going to, just to throw shade on you. That's definitely not my, that's definitely not my reasoning if I throw a similar question back at you. It's because I'm curious. It's a conversation thing. Like, say, we're on the air together, you know, in a sense. Ty Sandstrom replies and says, yeah, I like this question. Even though it isn't posed for me, I'll offer that the Minnesota Wild Easter egg will be Freddie and or Gustav. Like, Nyquist? Yeah, you could be right. Freddie Gaudreau has been insanely clutch. I love what he's done. To me, he's almost less of an Easter egg now in terms of, you know, we've seen him be a hero before. Where Connor DeWuer, obviously he's had moments, but he's even less, you know, out front, so to speak. And I know there's, you know, you can't be like, oh, we have 9 players who are established, you know, like on that out of the 12. And it's like, no, not necessarily. Kind of, sort of. But something about Connor DeWuer tells me that. Here we go. Yep, because so Derek had posted a picture, I believe it was a day or two ago, about another haul he'd have set, like another stash of video games, because he likes to collect retro games. Lately, you know, see, I used to collect, but now it's more of just, I've kept the ones that I collected. I don't sell them off. I tend to keep everything I collect. but I've slowed down lately because I'm just broke. And obviously, like downloading and HDMI and all that cool stuff. So there's that. Derek Svelska, again, let's get to what he has to say. You said Final Fantasy III, that would be six in Japan, but you know that's its original real name. Final Fantasy III for the SNES was on the Mount Rushmore of video games. Yes, it is, in my opinion. Yes, video game flashbacks, Mount Rushmore for video games. Final Fantasy's on it. Final Fantasy VI is on it. What would be your Minnesota Wild Mount Rushmore of players slash coaches? Well, two people that are going to be there right away are Jacques Lemaire and Kirill Kaprizov. They are absolutely on it. I'm probably looking at the next guy right now. He's either the third or fourth, but he's on it. Jared Spurgeon. He was looking right up. He's right on the screen because we got the Wild and Golden Knights recent game here on Monday flashing in front of me. I've not let it distract me too much because I haven't, you know, I've been concentrating on the show, much more show, just look up on occasion. But I think those three are on there for sure. People are going to be like, where's Koivu? Where's this? Where's that? Yeah. Me and Derek have different opinions than a lot of Minnesota Wild fans. Meaning, me and Derek agree. Let's just put it that way. We have a different opinion than the average Wild fan when it comes to Mikko Koivu. I think he earned his stripes, so to speak. I think he did this. I think he did that. I don't hate him, but to me, there was always something missing. I don't know. There was always something missing with him. And we'll get to that maybe on a separate show someday. Because this is kind of, you know, so people are not going to be happy if I don't put him on there. But it's like, I don't know. He might be there as the fourth guy. But, I mean, Spurgeon, I think, is I don't know. Like, Spurgeon, the way he's survived, the way he's hung on as long as he has, and what a wonderful defenseman he's been. And I don't know. I think he's better with the media. That's kind of a little hint of what I'm talking about here. That's just part of it. But I think he's a lot better with the media. After him, you know, if Gabrick was here longer, he'd be a shoo-in. It's like, duh, Gabrick. Like, of course. I think it's Jonas Brodin. Because you notice I left out two very prominent names. Because, well, yeah, they were good. But did they really live up to what they were supposed to be? And you learn so much about them in the later stages of them being here and ultimately after they left as well from former teammates that played with them in Nashville and such. a certain defensive named Ryan Suter. Parisi got hurt so damn much as well, which is frustrating. And I know Brodin gets hurt a lot as well. But so I think it's Jacques Lemaire, Kirill Kaprizov. Kaprizov is Washington. Lemaire is like the next one. And then I think it's like, you know, Spurgeon and Brodin. That's what I'm leaning towards. So I'd like to hear yours on that one as well. I would on your show. I should probably return the question in a lot of ways. At Crease Podcast. So those are awesome questions. Just those two alone right there. Incredible. That was fun. It makes you think. It makes you, because making me think is a good thing on this show. It's fun. It's not like, oh, thanks, Derek. Jeez, now I have to think. Jeez. No, thank you. Yes, thank you in a positive way. It's fun. It's fun rather than just, you know, who's the best player in Wild history? Kirill Kaprizov. Okay, next question. You know. Derek Felska, here we go. The lightning round continues. Are the Minnesota Wild capable of winning in the first round of the playoffs without Kirill Kaprizov? I think they are. I think they are because look how they've stepped up. Now, again, it depends on the opponent. It does depend on the opponent, but I think so. It won't be easy. It'll probably be six or seven games, but I think they are. Would I much rather have Kirill Kaprizov? Hell to the yes. I think, God, that is really tough. See, it made me think again. It is tough, but I think so. And again, it depends on the team. But the way these guys have stepped up outside of the frickin' Vegas games, which are very, very disappointing, but they just owned us this year for whatever reason. The worm turned. Remember when Vegas went to the Cup Final and we just owned them for like 2 years during that time when they were really, 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 really good? And they were the little team that could. So they were never little, but you get the idea. They were the new team that could. The new kid on the block, so to speak, that was kicking everybody's ass, except Washington, unfortunately. So the Worm ultimately turn. That's how that works. But I think the Wild can win a playoff series, yes. It would be hard, but they can. Particularly against a Winnipeg, absolutely. Seattle, yes. Dallas, maybe. Colorado, I hope. you see where I'm heading towards. So it's kind of like that. It kind of depends on the opponent. But yeah. Jennifer Adams simply says, no. So, all right. Somebody liked it. Was that, was that Derek? So, I don't know. I can't see. We'll continue. Derek says, will the Nashville Predators make the playoffs this year? If so, how dangerous of an opponent will they be for whoever faces them in the first round? I think they're dangerous. I think they're very dangerous, and I wouldn't want to play them in the first round simply because of our recent history with them. It's been ugly, I'd have to say. Interesting. Yep. This would have been like years ago, the hindsight thing. Me and Derek kind of were having kind of conversations off the mic, so to speak, during the week, you know, on the, you know, Twitter DM and all that. What were we saying? It was about Kopitar. So like back in, what draft is that? That was right after the lockout, right? So it would have been the 05, summer of 05. What would have been? It would like, what if the Wild chose Anze Kopitar rather than Benoit Pouliot? It would have been history changing for the Minnesota Wild, because look what Kopitar has done with the Kings for so long. Like literally, he's a star. He's a phenomenal top line center and all that. He's not Crosby. He's not Connor McDavid, but he's been an awesome player for so long, and they won multiple cups there for a reason. It was either him or Carey Price, and obviously Benoit flipping Pouliot, because the Wild, you know, we moved way up in the draft with that lottery when they first got that going. I'm like, oh my God, the fourth pick in the draft. Wow. Was Carey Price or Kopitar? Yeah. I would want Kopitar, yes. Like, Price for a while there was the definition of a star goalie. But he just gotten so oft injured, and then, I don't know, eventually he just wasn't good anymore, where Kopitar stayed good forever. I was saying, again, Kopitar would have been the best choice. Derek says, I agree. He would have pushed Koivu to the second-line center. Not sure if Kopitar would be enough to carry us to a Stanley Cup, but he would have made us a lot better for sure. Yeah. Yep. It would have been great. And it kind of depends, again, who would have been around him. Unfortunately, there would have been a dry period. But, well, man, I don't know. It's just too bad how things kind of turned out in so many ways. Again, the missing on Kopitar and then signing, pardon me, and then like turning out that Suter and Parisi just weren't, you know, they in a lot of ways they really weren't as advertised, were they? Like, it's okay to say that, isn't it? Bill Guerin would not have bought out Parisi and Suter if they were as advertised, you know, barring like major injuries or something. He would not have done it. They just weren't. Were they great leaders for this team? I don't think so. Matt Duchene has had a good year. So I'm going to look at Nashville now, since anyway, they're the final opponent of the regular season. Roman Josi, franchise defenseman, Matt Duchene, 56 points, blah, blah, blah. Their goaltending, Saros, has been solid. And Lankinen, former Blackhawk. I'm about to cough to death here. Thank God for the pause button. Oh, anyhow, Lankinen, former Blackhawk, 2.67 goals against average. Only one shutout on the year for Nashville, and that was Josi. Both goalies are good. Very, very, very good. Philip Forsberg has been a thorn in the side for Minnesota forever. Mikhail Granlund. Yep. Definitely a big drop-off from last year's great season. Matias Ekholm. Did he get traded? I thought he did. Yeah, he's a few years ago. No, yep, Edmonton. That's right. Yep, he's a big reason why Edmonton's playing better, I got to say. He's not a star, but he's certainly more productive with Edmonton than Nashville. Years ago, Ekholm, that 44-point season. Whew, I remember having him on the fantasy team. He helped me win it all that year, 2019. That cold, cold spring day in 2019. I'm like, wow, I'm actually going to win the championship. I was out walking around. Or was it I was going to get to the final? It was one of the two. But, yeah, Ekholm was a huge piece to that team, making the playoff run the way we did. It was fun. Off topic, and I apologize. But, yeah, I think Nashville's definitely a threat. They certainly have been for Minnesota during the course of the season. Oh, the season's tied. So we did win 4-3 on Feb 19. Okay, yep, that was a fun game, actually. Not quite as bad as, like, last year or so. Nashville just owned us for, like, a year and a half. Gustafsson stopped 23 shots. It wasn't that great of a game. A Kaprizov multi-goal game. Well, we need Kaprizov to beat Nashville, apparently, at least in that particular game. But it's I think they're a threat, yes. I think they're a threat. I don't think they're going to win a series or anything, but I do think they could be dangerous. I think they could pull off an upset. It's possible. They certainly have talent up and down the roster and familiar names and good goaltending, great defensemen, and you all see. And Ekholm's on Edmonton, so. Yep. I do think they're a threat, yes. Are they going to be a huge threat? Probably not, but they will be dangerous. They'll be dangerous. They could take somebody to 6 or 7 games, I think, in the first round. I think it's quite possible. I don't see them getting, like, you know, ousted. They might get beaten 5 games, and maybe it'd be a very competitive 5. But 6 or 7, I think, is more likely. So, yeah, I do think they'll be dangerous. Long story longer. That's the end of the fan interaction, I believe. I'm going to dig in the notifications for the heck of it real quick. Freddy is Freddy. Gustav is the choice. What is this, the Easter egg one? Easter egg, okay. So, Morty responds with, agree, Freddy is Freddy. Gustav is a good choice. Secondary scoring needs to step up. Anybody not named Kirill or Boldy. And then number 2, Foligno. Number 3, Eck. Number 4, Hartman. Number 5, Zuccarello. Big goals from unexpected sources. Reeves, Dewey, Sundquist. Yeah, so Dewey's what I'm thinking about. He's the Easter egg for a reason. Because he's definitely not expected to be this, he's not expected to score 4 goals in a series. But you just never know. You just never know. I think Connor DeWeer, I think we're going to hear his name in the playoffs this year. Got a feeling, but we'll see. Hopefully he's not the only guy scoring. You never know. With that said, I'm going to give some shout-outs and wrap this up. Of course, again, huge shout-out to Crease and Assist. Crease and Assist Podcast. Derek Felska. Kalisha Townsell. Teresa Furries. They're just so good. Like, their hockey knowledge is incredible. And I'm not just saying it. It's absolutely awesome. Highly recommended. Hashtag Crease Podcast for that. And like just like this one, hashtag Brave the Wild. I don't know if they did a poll this week. Maybe just busy. Maybe tied up with something. If he did, I missed it, and I'm sorry. Yep, last week's was the Seattle Kraken, like the easiest opponent for the Wild in the playoffs. Yep, looks like they didn't do one this week, and that's okay. You're just busy doing something else, or you forgot, or just maybe you're going to do it later, and that's how it goes. I understand. Otherwise, huge shout-out there. Of course, MNW Prospects, Pavel Bennett, Justin Bakke, Brandon Quast, just amazing guys. Love hockey. Love to keep up with prospects. Love to believe there's a great future, even though the future looks positive right now with Kaprizov, Boldy, guys like that. But it's so much fun to keep up with prospects. And, you know, MNW Prospects, MNW Young Guns on Twitter and all that, but it's prospects, but called Young Guns. You get the idea there. Yeah, look them up and follow and keep up. It is just so much fun. You know, talk about Jesper Wallstedt, guys like, you know, obviously Carson Lambos, you know, Kyle Masters, who's the other guy that's been so good? Bankier. Oh, my God. He has been a revelation. Ugrin, you know, huge playoff, huge numbers in the postseason at such a young age. Extremely exciting. Yurov's got a little more developing to do, unfortunately, but Ugrin's a little ahead of the curve, I think. Obviously, KHL's a little tougher than where Ugrin's playing, but still, it is what it is. But highly recommend those guys. Keep up with that. Minnesota Wild Global, Scott Cavendish, great Minnesota Wild page, interacting game by game by game by game by game and Wild news and all that. Like I said, Scott Cavendish, Chad Walski, Kathy Main, David Abraham, Michael Fick, Chance, David Kostick, yep, great page. And of course, Patrick Turner coming in out of Florida, huge Wild fan, again, coming in out of Florida and a great guy. Huge recommend there. Minnesota Wild Nation. With that said, wishing all of you a nice week as we head towards the end of the regular season. The Wild are in the playoffs no matter what. But then now, where will we be? Ooh, it's going to be quite the showdown coming up this week. And the Wild have a golden opportunity to finish in first thanks to a decent schedule here.